Well, good evening. I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We are going to be, we'll read verse 50 through to 58, but our consideration is going to be verse 58. It has been a great joy to be with you, to meet you, to fellowship with you, to see the work you are doing, and to hear of reports in different parts of the world. And it's just been a great, great encouragement. I was saying to my wife when I was coming that I actually don't know anyone in Guam. Usually when you're going to speak somewhere, there's someone who's a point of contact. Like, you know one person, and you know, at least I'm going to meet a familiar person. When I was coming, I was like, I have no idea what kind of people I'm going to find. But I am going away feeling like I have made family here. It's been a great, great, great blessing, and you've made a great impact on my life. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50, Paul says, I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the imperishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable. We shall be changed. For this imperishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. This is the reading of God's word. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we come before you once again, and we ask, O God, that you will make the book live, that you will show us yourself, you will show us Christ, and make the book live in us, O Lord. Speak and help us to listen. In Jesus' name, amen. My subject this evening is that the mission will not fail. The nations will be glad. The mission will not fail. The nations will be glad. Growing up, I loved watching fictional movies. The suspense would grip me, wondering what would happen next. How would the plot unfold and end? Until I realized they all end the same way. That the main character in the movie always wins. He could be captured, surrounded by 300 soldiers, but as long as he's the main star, he will be victorious. And that after I realized that, the suspense was gone. It was just a matter of waiting to see how he would do it. In a similar sense, Christians know the end. The outcome is secure. Christ will have the price for which he died, an inheritance of the nations. And we are shown a glimpse of the end in the book of Revelations, aren't we? When we read of myriads from every tongue, tribe, and nation gathering around the throne of God and worshiping the Lamb who is worthy. So friends, we must live and minister as victorious people in light of Christ's resurrection. We must live and minister as victorious people in light of Christ's resurrection. The mission will not fail. The nations will be glad. Paul, in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, is making a case for the resurrection. He says, the gospel is in essence that Christ died, was buried, raised from the dead on the third day. And those who believe in Jesus Christ will also rise from the dead just like he did. And he says, if Christ did not rise, Christians have no hope. But, oh no, Christians have hope because Christ rose from the dead. So we know that even if we die, we will rise. And we know that when we preach the gospel, we'll be successful because Jesus Christ was victorious and rose from the dead. So he says in verse 56, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. Death and sin are real enemies. Oh, but thanks be to God who has given us victory in Christ Jesus. Number one, we must live in light of our victory in Christ Jesus. As believers, you live in light of your victory in Jesus. He's saying, Paul is making a case that we will be transformed. When that time comes, we will have renewed bodies. In the same way that our lives are being renewed, having believed in Jesus Christ. Sin has been defeated. People will be saved. They'll be freed from the captive of sin. And people will be changed. You can be guaranteed that regardless of the lostness and the brokenness and the deadness of someone, when they believe in Jesus Christ, they are redeemable. There is no one who is beyond redemption. There are no lost causes. Sin may appear to be strong and to enslave people and weigh down people, but Jesus Christ is stronger. And he frees people from sin. Sin has been defeated. Death is not final. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So death, where is your sting? Where is your victory? In other words, here's what Paul is saying. The Lord Jesus entered the enemy's kingdom, plundered and plagued it, freed all those who were under the captivity of sin, came out victorious. He defeated sin so that those who believe in him are freed from its penalty and power, and they will ultimately be freed from its presence fully and finally when they rise with the Lord. That's what Jesus has accomplished. Oh, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have your sins been forgiven? Jesus died and paid the penalty for our sin. He stood condemned in our place, and He was victorious. He also defeated death, that the sting of death is no more. See, for the child of God, for the one who is in Christ Jesus, you can look at death and say, bring it on. Because to die is gain. And while we are here on earth, we know, we can say with Charles Wesley, we are immortal until God calls us home. That's a message of hope, isn't it? That's a message that the world needs, isn't it? That you see, you can go anywhere in the world and you can be guaranteed that people are facing the weight of sin. They are facing the burden of sin. They are weighed down by sin, regardless of which walk of life they come from, regardless of their status and their position. Everyone is weighed down by sin. And regardless of which country you go to, everyone is fearful of death. They are desperate for a message of hope. And friends, we who are Christians possess that message. We can go to anyone, anywhere, and tell them, Jesus overcame sin and He overcame death. And if you believe in Him, you can live victorious in this life and be hopeful of the life to come. Therefore, we're not afraid or ashamed to be Christians. We're not afraid to talk to anyone or to go anywhere. We can't lose. We may die, but dying is not defeat. But we also possess a message that everyone desperately needs. There is no message, no religion that has a message of hope other than Christianity. So friends, we must live in light of our victory in Christ Jesus. Secondly, we must labor steadfastly and confidently. Paul says, therefore, in light of this victory you have in Jesus Christ, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. We must labor steadfastly and confidently. He says, be steadfast. That means endure, be steady, be stable. As you move forward, you keep going. You don't let up. It's the idea of putting your hands to the plow and not looking back. You are steady. You are focused. You are moving towards the goal. Be steadfast. Be stable. Then he says, be immovable. And that's the idea of being seated or settled. You are not tossed about by every wind that blows. You are not moved by anything. Be steadfast. If Jesus is Lord and is your Savior and he's victorious, hey, look to him, stay focused, fix your eyes and keep going. It's the idea of I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. And though no one joins me, still I will follow. No turning back. Steadfast, immovable. You know, and this being steadfast and immovable is in all seasons and through all circumstances. It's easy to be steadfast and immovable when all is going well. When your plans are going smoothly. That's easy. Oh, but it's a different ballgame to remain steadfast and immovable when everything that could go wrong goes wrong. When your plans don't align with God's plans. You know, when God looks at your 5-year plan and says, okay, let's wrap this and then, you know, let's begin from scratch. Steadfast, immovable. And that's exactly how Paul was, right? He was steadfast and immovable. I mean, if you were Paul's enemy, he was one of those characters you hate to be your enemy because there's really nothing you can do to the guy. You throw him in prison, he says, I rejoice that I'm being counted worthy to be a prisoner of the Lord. You're like, no, we don't want you to be worthy. You beat him up and he's singing and converting the prison guard. You're like, no. We don't want him to do that. Maybe let's kill him. And then he says, for me to die is gain. You're like, we hate him. We don't want him to gain. Let him leave. You know, what would you do to such a guy? You know, one time they go into a city, beat them up, and throw them outside, left them for dead. They wake up and go back in. Says to the Philippians, I have learned in whatever state I'm in to be content. In times of plenty and in times of need. Steadfast, immovable. I always say to young men who are seeking ministry, I said to them, decide, make up your mind what you want to do. Do you want to be a pastor? If the answer is yes, that immediately sets boundaries and sets a goal for you. If that's what it is, then pursue it. It may take 5 years, it may take 10 years, but if that's what you've put your mind to, pursue it. You know, this thing of, you know, first let's survey the options. You know, depending on the circumstances and the situation. Well, if that's how you're going to operate, you one moment you are in, the next moment you are out. No, but in serving, you should be steadfast and immovable. But then he says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Which means overflow with. Outdo yourself. You should preoccupy yourself with the Lord's work, but you should seek to be overflowing in the Lord's work and to be outdoing yourself in the Lord's work. You're not in competition with others, but you outdo yourself in the Lord's work. In other words, the laboring for the Lord should be oozing out of you. You labor to the point of exhaustion. You give yourself wholly, fully for the Lord's work. You should be about the master's business. And it's important that he says the Lord's work, because it's not our work. It's the Lord's. We are merely taking part. We play our roles and die. See, friends, ministry of any kind is not personal to holder. It's not dependent on any one of us. If you ever just, you know, you're filled in some moment, you ever think, you know what, this is hinging on me, this is dependent on me, you need to remember, the Apostle Paul died and God's church kept going on. Now, Paul was the guy who planted a lot of churches and wrote half of the New Testament. That guy, yes, died. And God's work continued. That should give you some perspective, not so. I have a friend who likes saying, if you think ministry and life revolves around you, try dying. Then you see. It's the Lord's work. And it's a privilege to be part of God's work. We should gather ourselves, dear friends, from thinking, you know, you're doing God a favor. You know, I've been lucky. I'm, you know, it's just that I'm committed. It's the Lord. It's a privilege that we get to play a part in God's work. So we always abound in it. And it's exhausting work. It's agonizing work. Sometimes we get the notion of service that should be, you know, easygoing. There's a children's song back home, which was, you know, it's common in some churches and Sunday school. We are rolling on. We are rolling on. We are rolling on to Zion. Oh, no. You're not rolling on. You don't draw on in the Christian life. You labor. It's work. And friends, if we are to reach the nations, we must be willing to labor. We must be willing to agonize and labor to the point of exhaustion. It's exhausting work, but it is rewarding work. And it's important that he says work, because the very idea of work is that it's practical. It's action-oriented. It's not just, you know, It's not like your New Year resolutions. It's you actually get to do something. You know, I have a love-hate relationship with meetings, because they can be a sheer waste of time. You know, you meet, talk about the problem and what can be done. And then you conclude. And then the next time you meet, you're talking about the same thing again. So you talk about the problem, and the possible solutions. Then you conclude. You know, there are even people who want to have a meeting about a meeting. You know, say to someone, hey, we need to sort out that. Yeah. Let's plan to meet so that we can plan to meet. What do you mean? People, you know, sometimes people say, well, Pastor, when can I come and see you in your office? Well, what do you want to talk about? Oh, I'll come and tell you. No, you tell me what you want to talk about. Well, I was just thinking whether we can do Shine and how we can do it. Yeah, you do it. Where's the problem? You do it. Just like that, I'm like, hey, what else do you want us to talk about? It needs to be done? Do it. Next. Too many people have too many good intentions. Someone has said the path to hell is lined up with too many good intentions. I wish I could, you know, one day, Spurgeon was right when he said, brethren, do something. Do something. Do something. While societies and unions make constitutions, let us win souls. I pray you, be men of action, all of you. Get to work. Quit yourselves like men. Odd Suvorov's idea of war is mine. Forward and strike. No theory. Attack. Form a column. Charge your bayonets. Plunge into the center of the enemy. Our own aim is to win souls. And this we are not to talk about, but do in the power of God. And I say amen. Do something. We must be doing work. Friends, are you busy about the Lord's work? Are you applying yourself and playing your role in advancing the gospel? Or let me ask it this way. What are you doing right now to advance the gospel? And what is preventing you from participating in the Lord's work? Are you laboring to proclaim Christ and to see him proclaimed? Or have you benched yourself or gone into early retirement? Do something. Be about the Lord's work. Thirdly, long and wait for the results and your reward. There's that encouraging phrase, knowing that in the Lord, your labor is not in vain. Work done for the Lord is not in vain. Time spent serving the Lord is not wasted. Sacrifice for God's cause does not go to waste. It may not be seen, it may not be appreciated or acknowledged, but the Lord knows, and He will reward you. And a lot of work, dear friends, is done behind the scene. A lot of good work is and sacrifice is unseen. And I know we live in a social media age where, you know, everything is posted and everything is, you know, just praising God for the good work. Amen, amen, amen. I mean, if it's not posted, it has not happened. The Lord sees and the Lord knows and the Lord will always reward. So do not settle for something that is far less, the applause and the praise of men. Do not settle for that. You have an audience of one, your Master in heaven. He sees, He knows. And friends, anything done for Him will always be rewarded. It may not be in this life, but it will definitely be in the life to come. So be patient. Do not be discouraged. Your reward is great in heaven. Your labor is not in vain. Friends, the nations will be glad. The peoples will rejoice. People from all tongues, tribes, and nations will gather around the throne of God to worship Him. The gospel will advance. It will not fail or faint. The troops of Jesus Christ will march on. Jesus will build His church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. He will break down every stronghold in every corner of the earth. Friends, we are on the winning team because our Lord was victorious and reigns on the throne. Our King has given us marching orders to go and make disciples of every nation. And He has assured us that He will be with us to the end. Success on this mission is guaranteed. And all He requires of you and me is faithfulness, so that we may hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." You may not see the converts. You may not even hear testimonies of salvation. But dear friends, be guaranteed. Work done for the Lord is not in vain. And this mission will not fail. So I leave you with this church. O church, arise and put your armor on. Hear the call of Christ our captain. For now the weak can say they are strong in the strength that God has given. With shield of faith and belt of truth, we'll stand against the devil's lies. An army bold whose battle cry is love, reaching out to those in darkness. Oh, may our prayer be so spirit come, put strength in every stride, give grace for every head, that we may run with faith to win the prize of a servant good and faithful. As saints of old still line the way, retelling triumphs of His grace, we hear their cause and hunger for the day when with Christ we stand in glory. May we be found faithful. Let's pray. O Lord, strengthen our resolve. Give us strength for every hurdle. May this congregation, dear God, be encouraged to continue in the good work that they are doing. And may they know that their labor is not in vain. May you continue raising up an army of saints who will labor faithfully, zealously, confidently, and steadfastly for the cause of the gospel, to the glory of your name. Grant us this, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.